25 members present. That is a quorum. I will call us to order and ask that those who choose to join, please join us in reciting the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
I will welcome everyone to the La Crosse County Board of Supervisors public hearing and annual meeting. And note on this day after the official day, Veterans Day, I would ask that those members of the board and members of the audience who are here who served our country in the armed forces, if you would please stand and be recognized. Don't be shy. Thank you. Thank you very much for your service to our country and for those of you who are on the board for your service to La Crosse County as well. We are here this evening for a public hearing on our annual budget. There are sign-up sheets out in the hallway if anyone from the public has not signed up yet. We will start with a brief overview of the 2013 budget by our County Administrator, Mr. O'Malley, and then call on members of the public who wish to be heard following that presentation. Mr. O'Malley?
And I should turn this on so you can hear me. If our county clerk would bring up the slides, most of these you've seen before, but for members of the public, we thought it might be helpful to do an overview for the budget so you get some context as you're able to comment and give us your input. Obviously, this is the 2013 County Administrator's budget. Just a few short slides to overview. In essence, we have a $137 million budget. The vast majority of that is actually provided for not with property taxes, with specific grants and revenues that are tied to specific purposes, Medicaid, Medicare, issues like solid waste fees, all dedicated to a very specific set of programs and services. Only 22% of our entire budget is supported by local property tax levy. The rest is supported through fees and charges in other areas, but obviously the lion's share of the property tax is devoted to human services, courts, and public safety. Again, about 22% of the entire budget. The main achievements of a 2013 recommended budget, if it's adopted as submitted, is after 3 years of a 0% operating levy increase, this budget would ask for an increase of 1.15%, raising $314,000, and that money has been put aside in a separate line item for the county board to consider options between highway maintenance or jail staffing. The reason I've put it into that context is we're still trying to work with the judiciary and the criminal justice system to see if we're able to control long-term the jail population and postpone opening up that additional pod, because clearly we need additional funding as much as we can get for highway maintenance, and we've talked about those issues due to inflationary costs on the cost of building roads. So the operating rate remains the same at $3.13, and the recommended budget is $482,000 below the levy limit that the state has imposed on us. In other words, we're not going to the full maximum amount that we would be able to under the current adopted levy limit. And as proposed, if all of the other counties adopt the budget that's been proposed in the same 10 lowest rated counties, we would drop to fourth per capita instead of the current fifth per capita. We've shifted $400,000 into increased highway maintenance and are slated to do the most ambitious amount of road construction that we've ever done in one single year, $4.9 million for County Trunk Highway OA, about 2.6 miles. It's been a safety project long in coming. Ron and our highway department are very excited to be able to provide a significant improvement to that area of our community and the bypass from the south side of Eau Claire to, or excuse me, of La Crosse to the area outside of West Salem and that portion. Again, the 2013 budget sets the stage for future decisions, jail staffing or highway maintenance during first quarter. Future of Lakeview, who we serve, our sizing and location will be decisions made in 2013 without specific budget allowances for that. It will be for the 2014 budget. The administrative building planning, we have a dollar amount in there that we'll have to come back through the board for making a decision about doing architectural and engineering analysis on this building. And finally, it increases highway funding, but much more is needed. To accomplish the 0% on everything else other than that one line item was not spread equally across departments. This is a team effort across all departments to work together. Those departments that weren't able to because of fixed costs and other inflationary costs, other departments came to the forefront and were able to make decreases and cuts. In particular, I've mentioned the Human Services Department stepped to the forefront and helped us throughout the entire organization. There's no increase in health or dental insurance, which allows us to honor the 2% wage increase that was bargained in our collective bargaining agreements and is being recommended to mirror that for non-union staff. There's a moderate reliance on fund balances applied, though we preserve our strong financial position, and it's not highly reliant on increased user fees. We'll talk about the resolution on user fees tomorrow, but there are not a significant number of changes. There's been some significant discussion on a number of them, but we're not highly reliant on making major changes in user fees. And finally, while there's been discussion, this recommended budget does not include the county vehicle registration fee, which is an option under state law, and it can only be used for roads if it was considered at all. There is no resolution or ordinance before the board. It is not included in the recommended budget. The property tax levy goes up slightly, as I said, that $314,000. The entire debt levy is frozen at the 3.9 that we've been at for each of several years. So our total levy would be $29.8 million under the proposed budget, and the mill rate would stay the same at 3.868 per thousand valuation. The budget impact on the county property tax, obviously this is only talking about the line item for county property taxes on your property tax bill. The 1.15% increase in levy holds the tax rate the same due to the value of new construction. So as a general rule across the county, there is no impact to existing property taxpayers. However, depending upon the proportion that you as a municipality hold, you may pick up a little bit more and it shifts. Currently, the Village of Bangor, Onalaska, Town of Campbell, City of Onalaska, and Village of West Salem are the only ones that actually increased slightly their proportionate share of the apportionment of county property taxes. Every one of the other ones went down slightly. It's far less than 1% in each case. We always do a detailed examination of that when the bills are produced, and we'll provide you that report in December, but there will be a slight change even with that. So it's not uniformly across the board. Other districts, of course, will see a slight decrease. We also continue to manage debt service as best we can and maximize the use of low interest rates. Obviously, from 2011 to 2013, we're declining in the total amount of outstanding debt. Unlike many other counties, we have a significant amount of debt dedicated to our solid waste operation and the French Island plant that the county chose to do a number of years ago. But that entire amount of solid waste debt, of course, is not paid for by property taxes. The vast majority of the rest of the debt payment for highway and LEC, of course, is that dollar amount that we're using property taxes for. However, we've been very aggressive on trying to pay off debt early. The board will recall that in 2011, we accelerated a number of debt issues because of the debt reserves that we had, the savings in the budget, and actually bringing the LEC addition in under budget and on time, and so that we're able to cap our total amount of debt service, the total amount of debt levy, at $3.9 million. Now, in 2015, we're going to have to revisit this because as we pay off the old LEC, we will need to revisit the dollar amount that's available to support roads. We'll explain that more as we get into future budget years, but we've had this own self-imposed cap because we're trying to control the total amount of property taxes used for debt, used for roads, even while meeting our needs. 2013 fees and charges. The board will deal with the resolution tomorrow that actually sets all these fees and charges for the year. I think there's been some discussion at times that $25 million is a large amount of fees and charges, but it can be misleading because our solid waste and all Hillview and Lakeview charges are also included in that. About 70% of the fees and charges in that document are actually referred to solid waste fees, which are not going up. Hillview and Lakeview are only going up based on Mississippi Valley Health Services assessments, as well as charges in private fees and those types of things. The total net increase in all other fees is $111,000 in that entire resolution. So as I said earlier, we're not having a significant increase in fees to control this budget. We're actually doing the hard work of controlling spending throughout the entire budget. To put this all in context, the annual levy change for 2010 through 2013, the proposed 2013 is 1.15%. Each of the increases in 2010 and 2011 were only for debt service. Operating levy has been held flat for those 3 years. This will be the first year that we've seen an increase in operating levy and no increase in debt service. And finally, based on the research of our finance department, Mary Powell, checking with the other counties that are in the lowest 10 of proposed levies, the current adopted levy, if you adopt the recommended budget, would drop us to fourth per capita at $259.55 per capita. Madam Chair, members of the board, and members of the public, that's an overview of the 2013 budget that's recommended for the board to consider.
Thank you, Mr. O'Malley. Tonight, our next item is to hear from the public on the proposed budget. We have a number of folks who have signed up to speak. And with the indulgence of those who have signed up, I'm going to call on you as a group around the topic that you have indicated you want to address in your comments. We'll remind everyone to please, when you take the microphone, we'll give you some help down there to turn it, make sure it's turned on so we can all hear you. If you would state your name and your address, and then 3 to 5 minutes of comments on the county proposed budget for 2013. Our first speaker will be Steve Gores, followed by the folks from UWL. I'm putting you in a group, Al Trapp and his band of merry men, on the UWL topic. And then we'll pick up the other folks after that. So Steve Gores is our first speaker this evening. Mr. Gores.
Did you say you had to turn this on, or is it? Thank you. I wanted to thank the county board and...
you tell us your address, please?
Oh, I'm sorry. Thank Steve you. Gores, 2716 Bayshore Drive. That's on French Island in the city of La Crosse mailing address. But I guess it's in La Crosse County. I wanted to thank the board for allowing members of the public to address them tonight at their annual budget hearing. Recently, the city of La Crosse has seen fit to roll back the public's opportunity to weigh in before their full body. This is a great opportunity for the public who has anything to say about the most important piece of legislation before you, our annual budget, to say something about it before you vote on it. So thanks again for allowing this annual opportunity. I don't have much quarrel with the budget itself. It does do a good job of capping property taxes and keeping the lid on the levy increases. I think the administrator deserves a note of thanks for doing that. I must note that the elected mayor of the city has proposed the same type of budget every year of his term, and so it looks like you guys are on the same page, one elected official, one unelected. Which brings me to my objection to this particular budget is the line item for the county administrator's office. I think that should be eliminated as a position here in La Crosse County for a number of reasons. It's a highly paid position. It's six figures. If you include benefits, salary, staff, et cetera, it probably runs multiple six figures, you know, $200,000 to $300,000 annually. I think we could do it for less money by rolling back to the status quo ante with a more board-contraced governing model that we had previous to the hiring of this particular position. It would be more accountable to the voters that way because we have you folks in charge of this budget process more directly rather than an unelected official as good a job as he's done recently. Even better in the eyes of our group, Citizens for Responsible Government, would be an elected position that handles matters like this annual budget. A county executive, like many counties our size, have already adopted. It works well in Dane County, works well in Milwaukee County, works well in Brown County. We're a major county, and I note that former county board chairman Steve Doyle was for this idea a number of years ago and had the public weigh in on an elected county executive for here in La Crosse. The advantage to this is that this official is elected and answerable directly to the voters. We can fire him at regular intervals. He doesn't get a buyout of his contract. Once he's fired by the voters, he's gone, and that's it. We get a new guy. I like that idea. I don't like the idea of someone having this much power over our budget, and the fact that his job description has been described by some people as giving him a free rein to involve himself in activities that aren't directly related to things like preparing an annual budget, to wit, advocating another city, La Crosse, a higher, a similar position, a city administrator, which I don't think our county administrator should be involving himself in local referendum on his time, his most valuable resource that we're paying for, and with equipment that the taxpayers are paying for, his email system, etc. I know this has already been adjudicated by the Ethics Board, and they found that it was in the parameters of his job description, which he argued. I don't agree, and neither does our group, that this was an appropriate activity for a county administrator to be engaged in and would never have been tolerated in an elected official who's openly campaigning on taxpayer time. So I would go with Mr. Doyle's suggestion from years ago that we eliminate this position in the office, start over, and put forward a referendum to create an elected position that would directly administer our county budget, prepare these budgets, put them before the public, and if the public doesn't like what they're seeing, we don't have to go through you folks and buy out contracts and look around for other comparable unelected bureaucrats. We have a man who's directly accountable and can be eliminated by the voters and start over on an annual, reviewable, predictable four-year basis. So that's the reason I'm advocating that this line item in this budget be eliminated and do folks consider going to a different form of governance for the top job in the county. That's it.
Thank you, Mr. Gores.
Thank you.
Next up is Al Trapp, and Al, I'll let you start off and then introduce others if you'd like.
Thank you. Appreciate this opportunity. My name is Al Trapp. I'm the president of the UWL Foundation, and I'm here this evening first and foremost to thank you for your support for the UWL Memorial Field Sports Complex. It's a beautiful facility that has been a blessing and a valuable asset for both the campus and the community. From the foundation standpoint, we raised the money from the private sector to substantially finance this project. In order to construct the project, we had to go through the city of La Crosse for the equivalent of an industrial revenue bond. We rely upon the support of our donors and their pledges to pay off that bond. We have already paid off half of it. We're going to pay off another quarter of it this June, and by the end of 2014, with your help and the help of our other donors, we can substantially retire most of this debt. In addition, I want to put in a plug for one of the largest events in terms of a festival that we have at the stadium, and that is each year Freedom Fest. Last year, 7,000 people from around the area came to hear some good music and to honor our veterans, in particular our fallen heroes. It's a marvelous ceremony, it's a great celebration, and another example of what happens at this facility. I am happy to introduce to you now the Vice Chancellor for Finance and Administration at the University, representing our Chancellor, Bob Hetzel. Bob?
Will you all please indicate addresses? I forgot to mention that one now.
Your address?
4051 Terrace Drive.
Thank you.
Good evening. I'm Bob Hetzel, and my address is 1225 South 7th Street here in La Crosse. And good evening, members of the board. I appreciate the opportunity to speak to you this evening on behalf of Chancellor Gao and, more importantly, our 10,000 students at the University of Wisconsin-La Crosse. I have to tell you that your support of the Veterans Memorial Sports Complex has made it the success that it is today. We're in our fourth season. We opened the stadium complex, sports complex, in fall of 2009. And I can tell you on a daily basis, There are sports and recreation activities that occur throughout that complex, used not just by students, but members of the community of La Crosse and La Crosse County. I can tell you that on a weekly basis, there are phenomenal competitions that occur in this facility. And all you had to do is see the phenomenal activities that occurred this past weekend. On Saturday, a terrific football game. But beyond the football game, how we recognize our veterans before and at the halftime at Veterans Memorial Sport Complex, and the phenomenal activity that occurred on Sunday with our veteran students running around that track for 24 hours in a marathon and a fundraising activity for our veterans. These are the types of activities that occur because of your generosity, and on behalf of the University of Wisconsin-La Crosse, I want to thank you for your support. It has meant a great deal to the university, and I think I will next introduce Josh Whitman, our athletic director.
Good evening, everybody. I appreciate the time to speak with you this evening. My address is 808 Greenwood Street. I live in Holman. I am the athletic director. This is the third year I've had the opportunity and the privilege to come visit with you about your support of our great stadium project. And I can tell you now, I certainly don't claim to have been to every facility at our level around the country, but I hope that you all share the pride that I have in the great facility that we have here in La Crosse. I've yet to see another one that comes anywhere close to what we have here. Our student athletes, we have about 600 student athletes in our program. We have 19 sports, all of whom benefit from the facility that we have there on our campus. It's a tremendous home for not only our football team, but our nationally recognized track and field programs, men's and women's, certainly our soccer program, our tennis team. Everybody benefits from using that tremendous facility. It transcends just our athletic program. Certainly, as Bob mentioned, our student body as a whole is out there extensively. The lights are on every night. It gets used from early in the morning until the evening hours as the weather permits, and it's just a tremendous testament, I think, to not only our university but to our community. That is a community-built building, and I think that everybody really benefits from that. It's wonderful to see the use that it gets from folks out in the community as well who come in and walk and run and use it as well. The other item I wanted to point out is the great impact that our athletic program and by virtue of the stadium can have on not just our university but on the community as a whole. For example, this past year our athletic program was very honored to receive the Partner of the Year Award from La Crosse Convention and Visitors Bureau. You'll hear from Dave Clements here momentarily. And that recognized our program for the great things that we bring here to the La Crosse community, most notably the State High School Track and Field Meet, of course, is a hallmark event for us every June. It brings in about 20,000 people over the course of 2 days. It's the largest economic activity that happens in our community on an annual basis. Dave will tell you that. And we're very proud to be able to continue to host that here in La Crosse now for over 20 years. And without your support, without the funding for the new stadium project, I'm quite certain that event would have gone somewhere else. Another thing that we're very excited about next spring, we will host a national NCAA Division III track meet here in La Crosse. That will be another opportunity for us to shine a very bright light on the La Crosse community, certainly on our university, on our athletic program. We have hosted the National Wrestling Tournament here the last 2 years, and this promises to be an even bigger event. It's a third day. It involves about 800 participants as opposed to 150, which is what we had with wrestling. We anticipate the economic impact of that being over $1 million, just over a three-day event. And so we're very excited to be able to bring that kind of an event here to our community, and certainly the benefits from that accrue not just to our student athletes, our university, but to the community at large. And we feel very strongly that that's some way that we can give back and support the community that has supported us so much over the years, certainly in no small part with the stadium project. So thank you very much for your support, and we certainly request it again as you go forward. Thank you so much. And I will next introduce our Assistant Chancellor for Advancement at the University, Greg Reichert.
Thank you, Josh, and I promise I'm the last one from the university team this evening. Greg Reichert, Assistant Chancellor for University Advancement. Address is 496 Leonard Street North in West Salem. Just kind of echoing the comments from my colleagues here, the support that the community and this board have given to that project are outstanding and to be commended. Just to give you an example, some of the other activities that do happen at the facility, and not just the football stadium itself, but the entire sports complex and the outreach that it has into the community. We have worked with the Boys and Girls Club on several activities, fundraisers for them, in partnering and using the facility. Lots of regional activities have come in the last year, bringing in people from all over for things like archery competitions and other things. River City Rough Riders play their games there at the stadium. Blue Stars Drum and Bugle Corps, of course, they have a week-long practice and their concert/performance that they use before they kick off their big summer tour. And on a daily basis, 6 days a week, the Veterans Hall of Honor is open to the public. And if you haven't had a chance to go in there and feel the impact of that project, I would highly recommend it. But just the day-to-day traffic that stops in to see that, to tour the facility, to view the videos and the new things that have been implemented this year, it's amazing to see how that project has brought the community and the university together. So on behalf of the whole team, Chancellor Gao, who had a conflict and unfortunately couldn't make it here tonight, but he sends his regards. Once again, we do thank you for your support and look forward to our continued partnership in the future. So thank you.
Thank you, gentlemen. Mr. Reichert, Mr. Whitman, Mr. Hetzel, and Mr. Trapp. Dave Clements is up next, followed by John Desmond. And I would just check with the members of the public. Anybody else wishing to speak tonight? We'll pass over. If you could pass it down. We'll get you signed up to follow these next couple of folks.
Good evening. I have a handout. Can I just pass it down the aisles here?
You can. And tell us your name and address, too, please.
Dave Clements, 2026 Barnaby Road, La Crosse. What is coming around to you is the some numbers that relate to the Interstate 90 Welcome Center that we have partnered with the county on the last 3 years. As some of you are well aware, with the state of Wisconsin closed that facility about 4 years ago. We've been able to reopen it with a partnership that includes La Crosse County, the city of Onalaska, the village of West Salem, the village of Holman, and a small contribution from Vernon County. One side of the report is the budget for 2012 and 2013. And if you look at that, you'll note that we're projecting about a $58,000 expenditure for 2013, with $10,000 of that coming from the La Crosse County. And the other, again, the Convention Visitors Bureau of La Crosse makes up the majority of the expenditures, over half of it, and so you can see our contribution, our organization, has a significant impact on the numbers there. We do get some funds from the state also. And additionally, the State Department of Transportation takes care of all the expenses for that the utilities for that facility and snow room. And I think the county does the snow removal. Is that correct, Steve? You guys do the snow? And they're reimbursed? Is that right?
We're getting a nod from Mr. Chamberlain.
Okay, all right.
The Highway Commissioner.
So, and then on the other side, you'll note the number of visitors we have had to the facility so far this year. 38,600 through the front door, 20,500 that we have interacted with, handing out materials, answering questions, providing a friendly welcome face to deal with their questions and requests for information. Again, I'm open to questions. I just want to thank you for your consideration for this amount to help us keep that facility open year-round.
Thank you, Mr. Clements. Supervisor Ebert.
Thank you, Mr. Clements. How did you get a lot of hits on the... you know what I'm talking about.
I do know what you're talking about, and I can't. Our Wi-Fi. We installed free Wi-Fi out there. Not a lot, but it gets used. It's not like thousands or anything like that. So, but people will access it. We also put on the front door a QR code, so they can just take their smartphone, scan the QR code, and then our website pops up. So they, if we're not there, if it's 8 o'clock at night, they can access our website immediately without having to know the email, the website address. If they've, and over half the people right now are carrying some kind of smartphone, smart tablet, so it seems to be working well for us that way too.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Supervisor Schrader.
Mr. Clements, has anybody approached you about putting anything in the airport as far as information goes?
Yeah, that has. We do have some materials out there now already, and we, I need to talk to the city new airport manager about expanding that.
Thank you, Mr. Clements, very much.
Thank you.
Next up is Mike Desmond to talk to us about Boys and Girls Club.
Thank you very much, Madam Chair. You had once referred to me as much older, heavier, and more obnoxious brother, and I don't want to confuse it. I'm Mike Desmond, not John. And is this for public record, isn't it? He won't see this, will he? Anyhow, my address is N1545 Hagen Road in Shelby. I came tonight mostly just to thank you for your past support of the Boys and Girls Clubs and the programming that we do, and encourage you for continued support at the club. Your dollars are making a difference in a huge difference in a couple of ways. Number one, the amount of kids that you're impacting with those dollars is growing. It's kind of a double-edged sword, because what it means is we're attracting more kids to the club. We went at 8.5% in 2011, another 6.5% growth in kids that come on an average, or average daily attendance. So our attendance is growing. The other side of that sword is the percentage of kids who are in poverty that are coming, single parent families that are coming, kids who are hurting and in need is growing in this community as well. But we are growing. We have seven sites, our three major sites, two here in the city of La Crosse and one in West Salem. All have shown a tremendous increase in attendance. You might be interested in out in West Salem. Our club has almost doubled in size in the last year in terms of number of kids that are coming per day. We have a long-range plan committee to address that. We're looking at, hopefully within the next year, beginning to build a permanent site in West Salem, working in collaboration with the school district in West Salem. Right now we're in a church, and it's just flat out too small. The second way that you're impacting us is really your dollars are being leveraged to secure other dollars for the Boys and Girls Club. The programs that you're supporting are being leveraged to ask for other groups to also support those same programs in the form of grant requests. We have three in particular that we have out there, and also a private donor who is very, very interested in supporting some of the same things that you're supporting, particularly in the neighborhood, the Hamilton Powell Hood neighborhood over by Viterbo, our Mathey Center. So your $15,000 a year, for example, in 2013, will help us leverage probably close to $70,000 additional dollars for programming at the Boys and Girls Clubs at all seven sites, but particularly we are concentrating on that neighborhood here in La Crosse. Lastly, I want to let you know that we hope to strengthen our partnership with the county. I was in a meeting today with Jason Witt, and we brainstormed about several ideas of how we could take what we're doing and make it even better to impact more kids, but not necessarily more money, just do it more efficiently and a lot better, that would hopefully save the county some money in dealing with kids who aren't quite in the system yet and probably just need what we would call a light touch, some safe place to go after school, and get involved in recreation and some academic help and those kinds of things. So we're strengthening our partnership with the county as well as La Crosse School District and the West Salem School District. So again, thank you. We're doing the best job we can with the monies that we've got, and we just appreciate your support. Thanks. Any
thank
questions?
Thank you, Mr. Mike Desmond.
Yeah.
And thank you also for your service on the Criminal Justice Management Council as a citizen member. Last speaker that we have signed up is Mr. Carl Wiggert. Let me just do a check. Anybody else from the public wishing to be heard tonight? Okay. Mr. Wiggert?
Yeah. That's a disaster, I guess, if there isn't a lot of public coming here. I'm not coming with my hand out today. It's, you know, great things that you can do with other people's money. There is a overwhelming group of people that are not liking to give up the money. And, you know, it's a lot easier to spend somebody else's money than to spend your own. You know, I see you publicize that you guys are low, but the community has been hurting. A lot of people, foreclosures are up. The standard of living is way down. We are a depressed area. And you need to start curbing your budgets because the public's curbing their budgets. I obviously I got a different philosophy than you guys, willing to, you know, argue with you or talk to you about there isn't one thing that government can do better than the private industry, and your duties here are not to spend the public's money. You know, you're supposed to run a lean, and competent government. The other thing I'd like to address today is Mr. O'Malley. He ran a political campaign. He bought a name list from the Democratic Party.
Mr. Wiggert, I'm going to ask that you target your comments to the budget itself. So if there's a line item in the budget that relates to this matter.
The line item in the budget,
yes,
is that you guys hired him. He's an unelected official, and you guys are responsible to him. And his budget, he's one of the highest paid individuals in the county, you know, without any supervision. And when our government starts running campaigns, I think we go a real quick stream to tyranny, I don't want to be like Cuba or South Korea, North Korea. I would like to be happy with our government, but there is a large group of individuals that are getting pushed. So that's what I'd like to say to you.
Thank you, Mr. Wiggert. Yeah. Anybody else from the public wishing to be heard on the 2013 budget? Anybody else from the public wishing to be heard? Last call. Anybody else wishing to be heard on the 2013 budget? If not, we will close the public hearing and move to communications and announcements. Under my report, just a couple of housekeeping matters, a reminder of our schedule that we hope to get through most of the agenda, perhaps up and through item 1114 this evening, and then take a recess and come back at 9 o'clock in the morning to start the budget items, which would be 1115 through the remainder of the agenda. A reminder from the clerk that please do not turn off your computers tonight. So log out in the voting system is all, but do not do the full shutdown on the computers, please. Are there any committees that need to meet? I'm not aware of any that need to meet other than that. If that's it for me on housekeeping, unless anybody has any questions about how we plan to proceed the next little while. Supervisor Spiker.
I don't have anything about procedure, but item 11-20, approval of 2012 administrative, should be 2013, shouldn't it?
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you. Everybody get that? On item 11-20, we're hoping to approve the 2013 administrator's budget. All right, any supervisor conference reports or announcements? If not, consent agenda, item 11-5, motion to approve by Supervisor Plesha, seconded by Supervisor Becker. Discussion on the consent agenda. Seeing none, all those in favor of the consent agenda signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. The consent agenda is approved. Over to you, Supervisor Cruz, for Health and Human Services Board.
I have three items for you tonight, starting with item 11-6, which is second consideration of ordinance number 108 to amend sections in Chapter 11 entitled Public Health and Human Services of the General Code of La Crosse County, Wisconsin. I move for its approval.
Supervisor Cruz moves approval of ordinance 108 to amend sections in Chapter 11 entitled Public Health and Human Services. Is there a second? Seconded by Supervisor Karen Johnson. Discussion on this ordinance. All those in favor of the ordinance signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. That ordinance is approved. Back to you, Supervisor Cruz.
Okay, I have item 11-7, second consideration of ordinance number 110 to amend sections in Chapter 12 entitled Sanitation Code of the General Code of La Crosse County, Wisconsin. I move for its approval.
Supervisor Cruz moves approval of ordinance 110 to amend sections in Chapter 12 of the Sanitation Code, seconded by Supervisor Burke. Discussion on this ordinance. Supervisor Cruz, back to you.
Yes, I'd just like to mention that a large section of this ordinance was eliminated. You might wonder why, but the reason is that the state actually appropriated or took our wording on that, and that made it superfluous for us to have that in our code. So I think that's, you know, a nice reflection on us.
Other discussion on this ordinance? All those in favor of approving the ordinance signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. That ordinance is approved as well. Back to you, Supervisor Cruz.
Okay. Item 11-8, second consideration of ordinance number 111 to amend sections in Chapter 13 entitled Licenses and Permits of the General Code of La Crosse County, Wisconsin. I move for its approval.
Moved by Supervisor Cruz, seconded by Supervisor Karen Johnson to approve ordinance 111 to amend sections in Chapter 13 entitled Licenses and Permits. Discussion on this ordinance. Supervisor Veenstra. Microphone, please.
I'd move the amendment that's been in the underlined area on the second page, where it adds language to the last sentence of subsection 11C. The wording will be, in addition, the court may revoke the license or licenses of the person or persons convicted and order restitution for any extraordinary expenses for services provided by La Crosse County where appropriate. To some degree, this may seem superfluous given the immediately preceding subsection 10. However, I would point out that the bond that the and in the subsection above, subsection 8F, the bond is, I think, $2 per person attending the event, and the forfeiture that's indicated, I'm not certain that it would be as simple as we think to necessarily collect that.
Supervisor Veenstra, let me stop you there, please.
Did I get
a second?
We
don't have a second yet. Then you can keep explaining and answer questions if people have it. So Supervisor Veenstra has moved the amendment to add the words and order restitution for any extraordinary expenses for services provided by La Crosse County where appropriate to the end of section 11C, seconded by Supervisor Berg. Back to you, Supervisor Veenstra.
Sorry about that. I think it might make it simple for the county to enforce it. If there is an extraordinary expense, they would only have to do one route or the other, or in addition, a court. It might be easier to do with court approval under subsection 11C. So that's why I made that minor amendment.
Any other discussion on the Veenstra amendment to this ordinance? All those in favor of the amendment signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. The amendment is approved. Now back to the amended ordinance. Any discussion on the amended ordinance? All those in favor of approving the amended ordinance signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. That is approved as well. Anything else for you, Supervisor Cruz?
That's it. Thank you.
Thank you. On to Planning, Resources, and Development, Supervisor Pedretti.
Item 11-9, Zoning Petition 1910 to amend the La Crosse County Zoning Ordinance filed by Terrence Herbst, acting on behalf of and together with Stephen, Judy, and Michelle Herbst, to rezone Exclusive Ag District to the Ag District A, an approximate 1.43-acre parcel in the town of Hamilton. I move its approval with the three conditions.
Supervisor Pedretti moves the committee's report with the conditions, seconded by Supervisor Becker. Discussion on this item. All those in favor of its approval signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. That is approved. Back to you, Supervisor Pedretti.
Item 1110, Zoning Petition 1912 to amend the La Crosse County Zoning Ordinance filed by Benjamin and Amy Breidenbach, acting on behalf of Michael and Angela Jorge, to rezone from Residential A to the Commercial District B, an approximate 1,245 square foot parcel for parking use in the town of Onalaska. I move its approval with no conditions added.
Supervisor Pedretti moves the committee report, which is approval, seconded by Supervisor Holtz. Discussion on this item. All those in favor of its approval signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. That is approved as well. Back to you.
Item 1111, Conditional Use Permit Number 863, filed by Neil Hendrickson, acting on behalf of Beverly Brockenhauer, to operate a mobile welding business known by Harley's Mobile Welding, and to include outdoor storage on land zoned Exclusive Ag District in the town of Hamilton. I move its approval with the six conditions.
Supervisor Pedretti moves the committee report, which is approval with six conditions, seconded by Supervisor Landre. Discussion on this item. All those in favor of its approval signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. That is approved as well. Back to you.
Item 11-12, Conditional Use Permit Number 864, filed by Larry Michalski, acting on behalf of Darlene Foss, for an existing farm resident on Lot 1, 2.3 acres, of a proposed certified survey map located within approximate 35.88-acre base farm tract on land zoned Exclusive Ag District in the town of Washington. I move its approval with three conditions.
Moved by Supervisor Pedretti to approve the committee Supervisor Pedretti moves the committee report, which is to approve with three conditions, seconded by Supervisor Becker. Discussion on this item. All those in favor of its approval signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. That is approved as well. Is that it for you, Supervisor
that
Pedretti?
That has to be the fastest zoning we've ever done. Thank you.
We will take it. On to you, Supervisor Hampson, for Executive Committee.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I have item 1113, a resolution about authorization for designation of depositories. Whereas the County Board shall designate one or more depositories, now therefore be it resolved that the County Board appoint the following financial institutions as official depositories for La Crosse County funds, and they are listed on the resolution. Be it further resolved that the aforementioned depositories are officially designated until there is a change in state statutes or they are amended by the La Crosse County Board. Fiscal note, no fiscal impact. I move its approval.
Supervisor Hampson moves approval of the resolution, seconded by Supervisor Karen Johnson. Discussion on the resolution. Are you awake? I just want to. All those in favor of approval of the resolution signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. That is approved. Back to you, Supervisor Hampson.
Thank you. I have item 1114, a resolution about cancellation of outstanding county checks. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the La Crosse County Board accept the list of outstanding county checks issued by La Crosse County that have been outstanding for a period in excess of 2 years, and such checks are hereby canceled, and be it further resolved that any monies recoverable because of the cancellation of said checks shall be returned to the County General Fund. It is further understood that any subsequent request for payment will be handled on an individual basis according to the applicable statutes of limitations. Fiscal note, total is $7,229.15 for the year 2010, and all those checks are appended hereto. I move for its approval.
Supervisor Hampson moves approval of the resolution, seconded by Supervisor Paff. Discussion on this item. All those in favor of its approval signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. That resolution is approved as well. We have been an expeditious group here. So originally we had thought this would be the point of recess. The challenge that we face tonight, if we want to continue, is that department heads either were not here or left thinking that we would not be taking up the budget this evening and not anticipating how speedy we would be. So let me just check in with Mr. O'Malley and see what our options are as far as staff is concerned.
We can follow your direction. Obviously, there are a couple items with fees and charges that included a couple of key department heads that aren't here. But if you'd like to address any of the other resolutions or adjourn early and take it up tomorrow, whatever. Staff will follow your lead.
What's the pleasure of the group? Supervisor Ebert.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I know that Supervisor Ferries was under the impression that we would be going no further than this. I don't know who else. So I would move that we suspend or recess until 9 o'clock tomorrow morning.
Supervisor Ebert has moved for recess until 9 o'clock tomorrow morning, seconded by Supervisor Holtz. I honestly don't know if recess is debatable. I apologize. I'm seeing no objection to that. So all those in favor of recess until tomorrow morning at 9 signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. We are in recess. Please remember just law. 5 members present. That is a quorum. I will call us out of recess and back into session. And go back to you, Supervisor Hampson, on item 1115, please.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I have item 1115. A resolution authorizing the approval of increases to certain La Crosse County permits, fees, and charges for 2013. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the La Crosse County Board does hereby approve budget documents entitled Proposed User Fees, Charges for Services, and Permit Fees for 2013 Comprehensive Master List to be effective commencing January 1, 2013. Fiscal note, the proposed fees, charges, and permit fees of $24,958,923 for 2013 have been included in the proposed 2013 budget. I move for its approval.
Supervisor Hampson moves approval of the resolution, seconded by Supervisor Cruz. Before we begin debate on this, I would just remind the board that the fees that are set through this resolution impact the fee schedule only, and that if there are any changes to these fees, we will then, when we take up item 1120, which is the budget itself, need to make adjustments. And those amendments are where we need to make sure that we have the offset that we talked about earlier. So if we are reducing revenue, we'll need to come in. We're asking that the amendment have an indication of where those offsetting dollars would come from. So the fee schedule setting through this resolution is the first step. And again, if there are any changes to this fee schedule, we will need to then accommodate those through amendments to the budget when we take up the budget a little bit later on. Any questions on that? So it needs to be a two-step process. I just want to make sure everybody's clear on that. Any questions on that process? Seeing none, discussion on the resolution regarding fees and charges for 2013. Supervisor Ebert.
Madam Chair, I'd like to offer an amendment to the fee schedule on page 15 of the 21 pages. There's a $500 fee currently for business preparedness, smoking cessation, and healthy business. I move to replace that fee with the words replace fees for business preparedness, smoking cessation, and healthy business with a $45 per hour fee.
Is there a second on Supervisor Ebert's amendment to replace the flat fee to an hourly fee for those services? Seconded by, was that you, Supervisor Pedretti? Seconded by Supervisor Pedretti.
And I figured, yeah, I spoke with the administrator and Mr. Mormon. And they had come up with a fee, a blank fee, but it didn't really cover if there was more or less things. So I believe they're agreeable. You can ask the administrator. I think this is a one that's been generally thought to be a good addition to the schedule. Thank you, Madam Chair.
So this is on page 15. It's in the public health budget education business preparedness classes, which is account number 51061, and smoking cessation classes, the same account number, and healthier business classes. All three of those, the last three in that grouping labeled health education, that are new fees. Everybody with me? And Supervisor Ebert's amendment is to replace the 2013 rates, all of them, with $45 per hour.
And Madam Chairman, I add, there Absolutely. Is no effect on the budget. They feel that
it's
this
an
will
in
also,
and out.
Yeah, it's just a change. It will not affect the bottom line. Thank you.
So the hourly rate will cover costs. Anything else from you, Supervisor Ebert, as the maker of the motion? So any discussion on the Ebert amendment? Doug Mormon gave us a head nod that it was you had discussed it with Mr. Ebert, and you're agreeable that the $45 per hour will cover costs. If you would come up to the microphone, please, just so we get it on record. And perhaps stay up here in case there are questions.
As you can tell, it's a new fee. We made a best guess estimate. We think that the revenues would be a little less with the $45, but frankly, the amount of difference is insignificant in the $800,000 worth of fees that comes to the health department. Next year, we'll have better data, and if it's too low, we'll make some adjustments.
Supervisor Schrader. Oh, got it. Supervisor Burke.
I was under the impression that the $500 was the charge for the class, correct?
Yes. When we put this package together, we've been doing some of this similar kind of work in the past, and we want to establish a fee. We've been collecting revenues, but we want to establish the fee. What we have found is that it takes about that much time in order for a group of folks to learn the things that they need to learn. And so that's why we set it up as a class, as a guide to folks to how much might be involved. It's, you know, you can analyze it in a variety of different ways. You know, it's up to the board eventually to describe specifically what you want to do. But
so the business would be taking the entire class?
No, what we've done is we scale whatever is the activity is to what the group is looking for. Different groups of folks have different needs and experience. Sometimes businesses work together to get two or three together. So it was our guesstimate based upon what our experience has been, what it would take routinely for a group to learn what they want to learn.
Thanks.
Other discussion on the Ebert amendment? All those in favor of the Ebert amendment signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. One no is, Burke and Cruz are the two no's. That amendment is approved. So on to the amended fee schedule and that resolution, Supervisor Pedretti.
Okay, on page 3, land conservation, about midway down. My motion is to eliminate land conservation account 48077, farmland preservation fee of 50 cents an acre. And I, after the second, I'll ask to retain the floor.
Supervisor Pedretti moves elimination of the farmland preservation fee on page 3, seconded by Supervisor Weers. Back to you, Supervisor Pedretti.
Okay. this is one of those examples of a fee that creates much angst to begin, I believe. I think this is a wave of the future. We will have to do this fee, but I think the timing is such that we've got a couple of things here. Late last week, we heard from the state, Greg Stengel, our land conservation director, that DADCAP staffing grant came up with a little more money than they were anticipating. In effect, the long and the short of it is that we're going to get about $13,000 more than we were anticipating. So that helps our budget immensely. This farmland preservation fee is a fee that we were asking farmers to come up with 50 cents. Each farmer who's in farmland preservation gets $7.50 an acre if they're in the program. To get into the program, they need help. Most farmers, not all, would need help getting into the program by getting certification. And by doing that, they would meet with our staff, either talk about manure management, nutrient management, how they're doing their fields, where their cattle, etc. So it takes staff time. The state gives us some money in order to implement this, but it's not been enough. And each year it becomes less and less and less. Luckily, this year they're bumping it back up a bit to help us. But in the future, that money is shrinking. So we'd originally put this 50-cent fee on. However, I think that the timing is such that we would like another year. We have a meeting with the Wisconsin Towns Association unit meeting to talk to towns about this. We want them to buy in. We want them to help us work with the state to get more money for our staff so their staff can do this. If a farmer had to hire a consultant, it would be a lot more than what they're getting out of the county staff. And our county staff does a fabulous job, and we can certainly, Greg is here to answer questions or to help understand that process. We're also implementing the new zoning code. Some towns are still on the line of whether they're going to opt in or opt out. I think this adds kind of to the confusion of what is being asked of them. And so at this point, I am asking my colleagues to take this out of the budget this year, that it will be revisited next year. It was huge amounts of discussion at the committee level. It was actually, the committee actually voted to take it out as well. Huge discussions at executive committee. So this is not an easy issue, and I know it's not easy to take a fee out, but I am asking that we do at this point. Thank you.
Other discussion on the Pedretti amendment? Supervisor Doyle.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I would encourage people to support Supervisor Pedretti's amendment. I credit her for trying to bring people together on this particular issue. I know that it's caused a lot of consternation both here, but also among towns and among farmers. And to give a year lead time before we do something, I think, is the appropriate thing to do. And I think that it is really important to consider her comment with regard to there are some towns that are on the bubble at this point. Are they going to participate in our zoning or not? And we don't need to do anything to drive them away. And this is a good way to work together. So I would strongly encourage people, it's a one-year reprieve before we figure out what we're going to do. It's not the end of the world. I think it makes sense, and I would encourage people to support her amendment.
Supervisor Burns.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I believe Supervisor Pedretti mentioned it, but what exactly is the revenue impact of removing the fee for 2013?
Gary.
$24,000.
Okay, so $24,000. Some of that would be offset by what Supervisor Pedretti articulated as the excess revenues from a grant or something?
Correct. That's $13,000.
Okay, so then there won't be an issue coming up with the other $13,000 or whatever. $11,000. Okay. Right? Is that what
yes.
that your opinion?
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
And keep in mind, this is a good example of we're going to set the fee now. When we take up the budget,
under item 1120, we're going to need to find a source of that 11,000, and that can be debated as well when the time comes for that. So this is the first step in addressing the issue of the fee first. Supervisor Spiker.
What are they going to do with the other 11,000? Before I can vote on this, I want to know where the money's going. 13,000 was out of a grant, correct? But now where's the other 11,000 coming from out of the budget?
I guess that would be up to Supervisor Pedretti to suggest where that comes from.
See where I'm coming from. Before I want to vote on it, I want to know where you're going to plan on trying to cut.
Supervisor Pedretti.
If I may, I'm sorry, it's early in the morning, and I should have stated this when I had the floor originally. The $13,000 will come from the state grant. The additional $11,000 I'm asking you to come off the levy. It's a very small amount on 340. Thank you. If you could.
We're $482,000 under our levy limit, so it would have a small impact on increasing the levy beyond what's in the recommended budget.
Thank you.
Again, I just want to keep everyone to keep in mind that's what evidently Supervisor Pedretti is going to propose when we take up the budget. That can be debated at the time that we are talking about the budget as well. So that she's clearly stated her intention about where the $24,000 would come, but that will be debatable at the time the budget is taken up. Back to you, Supervisor Spiker.
What if they go both ways? They answer it one way one time and then the budget another way another time. What do you do then?
You get mad at them.
Besides that.
Well, that's that. At the time we are voting on the source of those funds, okay. it needs to be debated.
Okay, thank you.
Yep. Other discussion on the Pedretti amendment on farmland preservation fees? Supervisor Geary.
Well, it was mentioned that some towns were thinking about opting out of the zoning. Do they have a deadline to do that, don't they? And that deadline is coming up?
January of 2013.
January 2000. So if they don't opt out by then, we implement the fee next year. They can't opt out then, right? Opt out sometime in the future? Or
make sure we get this right. Nate Sampson, if you would come in and answer Supervisor Geary's question correctly instead of me guessing.
Once a town opts into county zoning and adopts the revised ordinance, they're in. They can petition to be released in the future, but that's really at the county board's discretion.
Okay, thanks.
Any other discussion on the Pedretti amendment? Oh, sorry. Did you want to say something else, Nate? Oh. Supervisor Plesha.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Nate, what happens if they opt out with this farmland preservation? Could you explain that to the board?
Unless they have a certified ordinance in place at the town level, farmers will be unable to collect that $7.50 per acre credit.
Other discussion on the Pedretti Amendment? Supervisor Burke.
What the average size of the farm that participates in farmland preservation is?
I don't have an answer for that.
Greg Stengel, can you answer that question, please?
But
The average size of the farm that participates in the program right now is currently 214 acres. The average size farm countywide is, according to ag statistics, is 196 acres.
Okay, so it's probably around 200 acres, which would be, if my math is good, $100.
Well, based on the Working Lands Initiative, which started in 2010, which basically revamped the Farmland Preservation Program, they went to this flat rate payment. In the past, it was based on a participant's taxes and how much income they had. It capped out at $4,200. Under the Working Lands Initiative, they changed it to a flat rate for counties that are zoned ag. It's $750 an acre. So prior to the Working Lands Initiative, the average tax credit in La Crosse County was $910 per participant. After the Working Lands Initiative, that went up to $1,403, so a little over $300 tax increase.
Supervisor Schrader.
I think maybe back to Nate, so that so if people aren't in, if the townships aren't in county zoning, they can't be in farmland preservation?
No, they have to have a certified ordinance in place, an ordinance certified by DADCAP.
So, but they don't have to participate in county zoning to do that. Each township can have an ordinance, right?
Correct.
Okay. I guess I don't see the correlation then between whether you want to opt into county zoning or opt out.
Well, there's certain costs involved with certainly adopting an ordinance and administering it, and it's an economies of scale. It's cheaper for the county to do that, for all of the towns to participate in that, to adopt their own. They're looking at hiring staff, probably retaining legal counsel, forming boards of adjustment, things like that, that they wouldn't have to do if they opted into county zoning.
Any other discussion on the Pedretti Amendment? Supervisor Landry.
Just for clarification, and thank you, Madam Chair, I think the reason why it was brought up originally about the towns and countywide zoning is more to do with giving them or not giving them a reason to opt out at this point. So if we irritate members of the towns by passing something that they feel like there wasn't enough time to discuss or that, you know, is not fair or anything like that, that might just be the what puts them over the edge on opting in or opting out of countywide zoning. I think that was sort of the original reason why that question was asked, just to clarify, at least from my understanding.
Any other discussion on the Pedretti Amendment? Supervisor Holtz.
Thank you, Madam Chair. On the committee, I had opposed this type of a motion, but at that time we didn't have the $13,000 offset, and the impact on the overall budget is minimal. And I can see where it would irritate the farmers who are getting $7.50 an acre already, and all of a sudden we're taking 50 cents of their $7.50, and they could concede that that's unreasonable. So I'm prepared to support the amendment.
Any other discussion on the Pedretti Amendment? If not, all those in favor signify by saying aye. Opposed, no. The noes are Spiker, Burke, Berg. That amendment passes. So now we have and any abstentions? Sorry. Supervisor Paff abstains. My apologies. So the amendment passes. And my apologies. We have two abstentions. Paff and Cruz abstain. The noes were Spiker, Burke, and Berg. That amendment passes. Any other discussion on the fees resolution? Supervisor Schultz.
Thank you. Thank you, Madam Chair. I just have a question, and it's probably a new guy question. On page 7, and I actually have to get back there, there's a new, I believe, $5,000 fee there, and I was just looking for clarification on what exactly that was.
So this is in zoning.
I'm sorry. Zoning line item 48090.
Yeah, page 7. This is the permit high traffic volume. Nate or Ron, one of you want to? If it's in zoning, I guess Nate is going to answer the question.
That fee is for a conditional use permit fee that we have in our new ordinance, our revised ordinance, and it addresses high volume traffic uses as a conditional use permit. It would affect fracs and mining, but actually any conditional use permit that would generate 200 or more vehicle trips per day. A vehicle trip is defined as once in and once out. That would be actually two vehicle trips. So we felt the staff time associated with doing those analysis warranted that fee.
And this was debated at our last month or 2 months ago meeting last month. So you're right, it was a new guy question, and you're allowed new guy questions.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
You're welcome. On the fee resolution, Supervisor Berg.
Yes, I have a question. As I recall from that discussion, the initial cost to the county of doing the assessment was about $3,000. Is that correct?
Actually, we estimated that at the $5,000 CUP level, but then, well, there were we did figure in continuing costs out to 5 years, yes.
Right. So, as I understand it, the initial cost was around somewhere around $3,000.
Correct.
And now if the permit is denied, then the applicant is out $5,000.
That's correct.
Correct. And the follow-up entails, what is the cost per year for the follow-up, approximately?
And we've estimated that out to a graduated scale. It's, you know, it's approximately $500 per year for the first few years following that initial $3,000.
Madam Chair, in that case, may I propose an amendment to this line item?
You may. You have the floor.
Yes, I would like to propose an amendment that would split this line item so that the $3,000 of the fee, or whatever the actual cost of the county to do the preliminary work for granting the fee, be assessed upon application of the fee, and that the remainder of the fee be assessed when the fee is granted. That way, if an application is turned down, the applicant only loses the amount of money that the county actually spent in working up the...
Is there a second to Supervisor Berg's amendment that reads on line...
Four.
On page 7, under zoning in account 48090, conditional use permit high traffic volume, that the $5,000 be replaced with $3,000 for the initial application, and help me out.
The remainder of the fee, which will be $2,000, be assessed upon granting the application.
And $2,000 would be an additional line item that would be for accepted or approved permit fee. So it gets the $5,000 would be split between a $3,000 application fee and a $2,000
granting
fee. And that was seconded by Supervisor Ebert. So now discussion on the Berg amendment. Do you want to say anything else while you have the floor, Supervisor Berg?
No, I think I pretty much presented the rationale for the split. So,
discussion on the Berg amendment. Supervisor Holtz.
Nate, do we have any other fees that are divided in such a way, or are we discriminating here?
We don't, but I mean that fee schedule could be established that way. I don't see why it couldn't. You know, the other ones, all conditional use permits require follow-up. These high volume traffic CUPs are going to require much more. So when we look at a standard CUP, say for instance, someone operating a small engine repair out of their garage, we frequently require follow-up on that also. We do a 5-year study of whether or not that operation is still in existence, and you know it does take continuing staff time to do that. But we look at that as part of our ongoing department function too.
I guess I would kind of pose that same question to the Corp Council. Do you see any problem with doing something of this nature? Does it discriminate because we don't do it anyplace else in our ordinance?
Well, I think part of it would depend upon the facts. If I can just ask Nate a follow-up question, if that's all right. Nate, for the other fees that we charged, does the initial fee that's does that normally cover the costs that we have of reviewing the application, or are those divided with the follow-up costs also?
It's normally for review of the application and, okay, and the preparation, the publication, all of those things that go along with processing that application.
So I'm not as concerned then, because here we are charging the same thing for the application. It's just that the follow-up costs are very different in this case. So I think it's a little bit different in this case.
Supervisor Path.
Yeah, thank you. I just had a question for Nate. Of the percentage of them that you take in, I'm trying to figure out what the impact would be on the existing budget. And of the ones you take, how many are denied, or if you don't know exactly that, about what percentage of them are denied, so that we would have an idea of the where you have the $5,000 fee versus a $3,000 with a $2,000 later. What would be the percentage or the impact?
Well, it's really difficult to estimate, because to date we haven't processed any of these types of CUPs. This was kind of a proactive approach to what the county may anticipate in processing one of these applications. So really it's a best case estimate, but it was something proactive I think the county chose to do. So in a short answer, I don't have an answer for that.
Supervisor Geary.
Thank you, Madam Chair. The purpose of fees is to recover our costs. It isn't to make money on the fees. We try to get something roughly that covers our cost. The $2,000 is a future cost if the fee was granted. He's not going to incur future costs because if it's turned down, they're not going to be doing follow-up and reviews and visiting the site or whatever. If the $3,000 covers our cost, then that should be the fee. Probably budgetarily, the correct way to have done it would have been put that, if it was $500 a year or something, in future budgets as a revenue item as you carried forward. He's front-loading it all. We get it in year one, but then we don't get that $500 in year two, three, four, or five because you've already collected it. But if the $3,000 covers our cost, that's what the purpose of the fee is for.
Other discussion on the Berg Amendment. Supervisor Landre. I'm getting supervisors who are wanting to speak for the first time.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I am leery of this for two reasons. One, even though it might be legal, there might not be a conflict, I think it's a matter of precedence, and do we want to set the precedent of starting to split up fees that, you know, do we then go one by one and start cutting these things in half and make our fee list that much longer? And secondarily, I'm not sure that what Supervisor Geary just said was entirely accurate, because if fees are there to entirely cover the cost or just to cover the cost, I'm not saying that the motive should be to make money, but by that logic, it would seem that the farmland preservation fee should be much higher, because if we're saying, well, farmers get $7.50 worth of service, then should their fee not be $7.50? I obviously don't support that, but to say universally that that's the case, I don't think is accurate.
Other discussion on the Berg Amendment, first-time speakers. Supervisor Jerome.
Thank you, Madam Chair. This is more of a question for Nate. Can you explain the rationale of the extra cost attached to this fee? I do believe that it was discussed that follow-up would be so much more extensive than other conditional use permits, and that was why that was brought up.
In other counties, what we're seeing for the number of conditions on these permits can number 60 to 70 items. They include everything from controlling what they call fugitive dust, air monitoring, blasting monitoring, tracking on roadways, impacts on local roadways, numerous items. So they really have a longer list, much more extensive list than your typical conditional use permit, and that's the rationale for that additional fee.
Thank you.
Any other discussion for first-time speakers? I got you, Supervisor Berg, as soon as we're ready to go to the second round. Supervisor Schultz.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Can I just get clarification? I'm a little bit confused. If this type of permit is denied, yes or no, there is still a considerable amount of follow-up.
That is, well, the follow-up would be less, would be virtually non-existent. The $3,000 initial fee that Supervisor Berg is speaking of would be preparation that staff would have to take care of, formulating conditions, meeting with mining interests, all of those things. So it is a fairly complex analysis up front, but Mr. Berg is correct that, and if it's turned down, the costs aren't there.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Anybody else first time on the Berg Amendment? Back to you, Supervisor Berg.
Yeah, I guess I should have taken advantage of my first opportunity, but now that I've heard some of the objections, I'd like to address some of those. The reason for selecting this particular fee for splitting is that it's five times the size of any of our other fees. And then if we collect it all up front and then the fee is denied, we're collecting a substantial amount of money for work that, in fact, was not done. And in a difficult economic environment, a fee of this size may discourage some industries from applying if they, you know, unless they're essentially guaranteed that their permit will be granted. So I would like to encourage permittees, but I would like to make sure that we also do all the work that's necessary to make sure that the business is operating properly according to the regulations we've established. So that's basically all I have to say. Thank you.
On the Berg Amendment, we'll vote on the computer on this one, because I kind of forgot that we have a computer to vote on and got a little test. So on the Berg Amendment, which is to split the $5,000 heavy or high traffic volume fee that is currently at $5,000, split it to $3,000 for an application fee and then $2,000 for a granting fee. If you were in favor of that amendment, vote yes. If you were opposed, vote no on the computer. That amendment has passed on a 16-9 vote. We now have three amendments, I believe, if I'm keeping track of this correctly. Any other discussion on the fee schedule for the 2013 budget? If not, let's go to the computer on this as well. So resolution 1115 with three amendments working in reverse order, the Berg Amendment that we just passed on the high volume traffic, the Pedretti Amendment eliminating the farmland preservation fee, and the Ebert Amendment to shift the three health education classes to a $45 per hour fee. So three times amended on resolution 1115 on the computer. The resolution is approved on a 23-2 vote. Back to you, Supervisor Hampson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I have item 1116, a resolution for authorization for third-party administrators and adoption of rates for health and dental plans for non-bargaining and bargaining employees for 2013. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the La Crosse County Board does hereby approve the contracts for third-party administration of the county's Franciscan Scamp PPO by MMSI and Gunderson Lutheran PPO by Gunderson Lutheran Health Plan and Delta Dental for the dental plan for the calendar year 2013. Be it further resolved that the La Crosse County Board does hereby adopt the 2013 funding levels recommended by TPA insurance actuaries, which are provided in the county administrator's budget as follows, and those are listed below. Be it further resolved that the La Crosse County Board does hereby adopt the following rates as the county's share of the above funding levels, except as modified by county board approved collective bargaining agreements for all eligible employees effective with the January premium for February 1st, 2013 coverage, and they are listed below. Be it further resolved that the employees' share shall be 10% of the total health premium and the dental rate plan as provided, and those are listed below. Be it further resolved that effective 1-1-2013, the retiree health plan, which is fully funded by retirees, shall be a high deductible health plan with a premium of $644 for single and $1,572 for family. Be it further resolved that the county administrator, the county clerk, and the county personnel director be and are hereby authorized to sign any and all necessary documents for effectuating the above plans in 2013 on behalf of La Crosse County. Fiscal note, adequate funds have been budgeted in each department budget to cover the expenses of health and dental insurance. I move its approval.
Moved by Supervisor Hampson, seconded by Supervisor Landry. Discussion on the resolution. Supervisor Richmond.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I do not see the supervisory insurance plan on here. Was that covered by a different resolution?
You mean for County Board Supervisors?
That is correct.
Mr. O'Malley.
There's no change in the budget in that area. Supervisors would participate based on being able to take single, and if they take family, it's at full cost to them, and that's the same policy. But they would follow the same rates that are listed there. So we don't break down each one.
So it's the same plan as listed here?
It's the same plan that you can participate in on the same basis that has been budgeted. There is no change in that. If a supervisor takes family, they pay the entire percentage above the percentage for single.
Okay. Thank you.
Any other discussion on this resolution? Supervisor Ebert.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So the county pays 100% for supervisors of the single policy?
No.
Oh, I didn't think so. Is it 55 or something, isn't it?
If I miscommunicated, the supervisor pays 100% above the single amount if they choose family.
Correct. But if the single amount, the county doesn't pay, what percent of the single amount does the county pay? 55 40. Or something?
Mr. Taunt, will you come to the microphone, please? County Board Supervisors, what percentage of single coverage?
You know, you realize the supervisory rates are set prior to the election.
And not in this
resolution.
And so
we're not touching those at all here. These are just the rates that we need to collect to pay the bills of the plan. And the plan that you've already passed for supervisors goes back prior to election time.
What is that percentage?
I really have to look it up, but it's county pays, I think it's like 55% of a single. Yeah, right.
And it's based on what a half-time employee or less would pay. So it matches what a half-time county employee. However, you don't qualify as a supervisor for that same amount for a family plan.
Okay, yeah,
it's based on the same percentage as if supervisors were considered a half-time employee or less. So it's the same percentage.
Yeah, I thought when you first stated it sounded like it was 100%, and I didn't think it was.
It's that if you take a family plan, you pay more than a half-time employee would pay. You pay that entire amount above the single percentage. I believe it's 40 or 45%.
Okay, thank you, sir.
Other discussion on this resolution? All those in favor of its approval signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. That is approved. Back to you, Supervisor Hampson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I have item 1117, a resolution for changes in positions funded by outside sources, non-tax levy, for 2013. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the following position modifications be approved for inclusion in the 2013 La Crosse County budget, reflecting a net increase of 4.29 FTE with $0 levy impact, and those are listed below. Be it further resolved that the Finance Department is authorized to make the necessary changes to the budget as needed, and the Personnel Department is authorized to make necessary changes to the county pay plan. Be it further resolved that any position addition reliant on non-tax levy funding will be deleted if outside funding ends. Fiscal note, increase of salary and fringe costs in the amount of $287,282 will be included in the administrator's proposed 2013 budget. These positions will be fully funded by grant revenue or other outside sources and will not impact the tax levy. I move for its approval.
Moved by Supervisor Hampson, seconded by Supervisor Karen Johnson. Discussion on this resolution. All those in favor of its approval signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. That is approved. Back to you, Supervisor Hampson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I have item 1119, a resolution modification of
1118, please.
Oh, whoops. Oh, turn the page over. Okay. Item 1118, resolution about changes in general operating levy positions and hours for 2013 budget. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the following position modifications be approved for inclusion in the 2013 La Crosse County budget, reflecting a net decrease of 1.92 FTE with a net decrease of $167,760 in the 2013 tax levy, and those are listed below. Be it further resolved that the Finance Department is authorized to make the necessary changes to the budget as needed, and the Personnel Department is authorized to make necessary changes to the county pay plan. I move its fiscal note, net reduction of $167,760 will be reflected in the administrator's proposed 2013 budget. I move for its approval.
Moved by Supervisor Hampson, seconded by Supervisor Cruz. Discussion on this item. All those in favor of its approval signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. That is approved as well. Now to 1119, Supervisor Hanson.
Okay. Item 1119, a resolution for modification of 2013 compensation plan for non-bargaining employees. Now, therefore, be it resolved that those employees and officials covered by the non-bargaining pay schedules referenced above have pay set for 2013 reflecting an across-the-board increase of 2% effective January 1st, 2013, including the UW schedule based on the county portion of the salary, and the only exceptions. Minimum wage positions will remain indexed to minimum wage, and certain grant-funded positions with a specific rate will not be increased. Be it further resolved that the UW schedules, having received no increase for three prior years, be granted a 2% increase based on the county portion of the salary for 2012, retroactive to January 1st, 2012. Be it further resolved that the Finance Department and the Personnel Department are authorized to take the necessary action to implement these changes. Fiscal note, the 2012 budget contains funding for a 2% increase, as well as for the increased cost of WRS contribution determined by the retirement fund. The estimated increase of salary and roll-up for all non-bargaining employees for 2013 is $468,954 for a wage, fringe, and benefit package cost of 2.17%, for which funding has been budgeted in the 2012 and 2013 budgets. There are approximately 450 employees, or approximately 365 FTEs, covered by this resolution. I move for its approval.
Moved by Supervisor Hampson, seconded by Supervisor Burke. Discussion on this resolution. Supervisor Doyle.
I just wanted to say that I'm going to abstain on this because I believe my wife is covered by this.
Yes.
Supervisor Burns.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I guess I'd like to have Mr. Taunt just clarify the fiscal note, just to so I'm understanding this correctly. There's a 2.0% increase, which is referenced in the now therefore be resolved clause. So the total cost of the the additions to the retirement fund and the fringe and benefit package is 2.17%. That's the total increase, net increase for all employees.
It should be wage.
WRS.
Yeah, the three pieces are wage, the roll-up, which is the Social Security, and the WRS is the benefit.
Okay.
So those three together, when compared to base wage, comes out to 2.17.
Okay. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Supervisor Geary.
Thank you, Madam Chair. What did our comparables give for package increases?
Mm-hmm. We looked at the comparables that Mr. O'Malley uses for budgeting purposes. Those are Dodge, Eau Claire, Fond du Lac, Marathon, Rock, Sheboygan, Washington, and Walworth. We used to use Wood County. They've gotten too small. They're off the scale for us now. We don't use them anymore. So looking at the comparables, one thing I asked about union and non-union rates, and except for one case, these counties are giving the same amount to their union and non-union people. We have one of the other things that's difficult to work with is the changeover from the old system to non-bargaining and counties having a handbook instead of union contracts. And so when you ask this question, what are you granting for increases, there are a lot of pay studies being undertaken right now for both union and non-union employees. So if I just go down the list here, Dodge County has a new wage schedule. They did a pay plan study. They have budgeted 1%. They haven't decided on the how they're going to implement the new wage schedule. Eau Claire is at 1% for union and non-union. Fond du Lac is at a 0%. Marathon County budgeted 2%, but they also have a wage study going, and they haven't implemented that yet. The thing with a wage study is that you may have some people that are getting more than 2%, some people are getting less than 2%. So Marathon was having a pay study. Rock County is also has also had a pay study done, and they've come to the conclusion that about a third of their people are below rates, one third are at rates, and one third are over rates. So potentially they're looking at two thirds of their staff getting an increase. Sheboygan is also looking at a pay study. They have budgeted 2% overall, but they haven't decided how to administer that. Washington County is, and this is another thing. I asked Washington County. They said 0%. But then they also said we have a new pay plan to be voted on this fall. So what the actual increase or pay compared to last year is for people, they can't say. They haven't put their pay plan in, but they have a new pay plan, and they're not adding cost of living on top of that. And Walworth County is also doing market studies. They couldn't tell me a percentage. So we have counties at, we have Sheboygan at 2%, we have Marathon at 2% budgeted, we have Dodge and Eau Claire at 1%, we have Fond du Lac and Washington holding, but they also have new pay plans, and we have Walworth and Rock that basically don't know what they're doing yet. So not as definitive as we would have liked in the past. One of the other questions that I asked along with this was how their health insurance was doing. And in most of these counties, saw exactly what we saw, a high initial number in the range of 9 to 12% increase, and the county making adjustments to their plan to get the cost down and to just absorb some of the cost. Washington County was the only one that had no increase in their health insurance like we did, but of the ones that were reporting, Rock was 3% increase, Marathon 4% increase, Fond du Lac 2% increase, Eau Claire 5% increase, and Dodge County was on the state plan, and I think they had an even higher increase. So it's not as clear this year as usual with union settlements, but one thing is clear, that most of these counties are treating their union and non-union alike. We've talked about this in the past. One of the reasons to do that is to maintain the integrity of your pay plan. If the union rates go up, as they are scheduled by the contracts that we have, and the management staff don't go up, we run into problems with supervisors who may not make as much as the people they're supervising if there's an overtime situation, something like that.
Okay, how many people got roughly got step increases?
How many people got step increases?
Yeah, just rough, a third of them or a quarter of them?
It's hard to say. We have a senior staff, and many of them are at the top step. A third would be a guess.
Okay, that's an additional 4%?
For
a step.
Some of these, yes. This is 450 people. This is about a third of the pay scale, and this is all of the folks that are not in a union group. So it does include some lower-level positions. You can see the list here from CE is clerical exempt, CM is clerical miscellaneous, jail staff, nursing, several nursing categories. So they're not all department heads, is my point.
Okay, yeah. In regards to university extension, who sets the salary, the gross, us or the state?
Well, we're on a 60-40 arrangement. Oh, I'm sorry. We're on a 60-40 arrangement with the University Extension, so the state sets 60% of the salary and we set 40%. The way we're doing it really is the least costly for the county, and there's not many counties left in the state doing it this way. Because of the way this goes together, bear with me, the state sets the terms and conditions of that 60%, and we set the terms and conditions of the 40%. It's a little bit of an odd system. The alternative to that, though, is to have the university set policy on the benefits and the wage for the entire thing and send us a bill. That would be more expensive than what we're doing now. And it so happens that they've frozen these folks for the past 3 years.
Well, I remember this discussion came up quite a few years ago where the state gave bigger increases than we were giving, and many supervisors thought we could give, you know, let's say we were given two and the state gave three. And you told us by statute or law or agreement we have to pay 40% of the rate the state sets. So if they would give a bigger raise than we would have in our pay plan, we have to, on our 40%, go to the same raise. And that's the way you explained it to us.
Yeah, once upon a time, the state did give out some good raises. I don't think people can remember when that was. But
Chuck in.
we are on a 60-40 arrangement, and we've tried to keep that exactly to 60-40, but the state hasn't. I mean, talk about agreements. The state hasn't held up their end of the thing either.
Okay, but this will get us above 40%?
It would.
And how does that affect the future then? Are we always going to be over the 40 then, or that we have an agreement? I think all, how many counties have this? There's still some counties besides us that have the 60-40.
I believe there's only three.
Okay. But in the future, we'll be above 40 then?
It was our estimation that it was slightly above 40, but recall that the agents, the four agents, have not received any raise for the 3 years, and we felt for the slight change that at least mirrors what other fellow employees that work alongside these agents receive. So it would be slightly above the 40%, but far less than the alternative form of contract, and seem fair to employees that work right alongside them.
Well, yeah, due to the budgetary problems the state is having, I think we understand why they're probably stuck given a lower thing. But we've had this agreement in place for how many years?
Long, long time.
Before you were here?
Yeah, before I was here.
Before you were here. And we've always been at 60-40, and now we're going to come off and pay more than 40.
Well, it has never been exactly 60-40. Well, it's fluctuated. Right. We've tried to keep it around 60-40.
Okay, that answered my question.
Other discussion on this resolution? Supervisor Berg.
I just have one point of clarification. Union employees have already received this increase in benefits. Is that correct?
This would mirror the same 2% for union for 2013, correct?
And what is the duration of that increase in union benefits? I mean, what's the duration of that contract?
Calendar year 2013.
So one calendar year. Okay, thank you very much.
Mm-hmm. Supervisor Spiker.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Being I've been here so long, I do remember things that happened years ago. We at one time paid a 4-H agent 100% because he refused to get his degree and the university wanted to terminate what they would pay, but the board thought it was a valuable position. We paid 100% at one time mm-hmm. for one mm-hmm. agent. That's the only time I can remember it ever happening. Thank you.
Any other discussion on this resolution? All those in favor of its approval signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. The noes are Geary. The no is Geary. Sorry. That resolution is approved. Back to you, Supervisor Hampson.
The next one's a mystery to me. It's item 1120, approval of the 2013 administrator's recommended budget. Are we to have...
Just move. If you would just move,
I just move its approval. Thank you.
Supervisor Hampson moves approval of the 2013 administrator's budget, recommended budget, seconded by Supervisor Cruz. Did you want to keep the floor for the amendments, Supervisor Hampson? The page of amendments that looks like this, yeah.
I also move the page of Executive Committee 2013 budget changes and corrections.
Supervisor Hampson is moving to amend the administrator's 2013 budget with the list of changes and corrections outlined in the attachment that we all received, labeled as Executive Committee 2013 budget changes / corrections, and that one dated October 31st, or is there a newer version?
No, that's
October.
October 31st.
Dated October 31st. That amendment is seconded by Supervisor Plesha. So let's, any questions or discussion on this first amendment, which is that list coming from Executive Committee? Seeing none, all those in favor of that, of the Hampson amendment, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. That is approved. So the administrator's budget as amended is on the floor now for discussion. To you, Supervisor Pedretti.
I have a motion to delete line item 48077, farmland preservation fee of $24,000, and increase account 46060, $13,000, and increase the levy support, $11,000.
Supervisor Pedretti has moved to amend the budget to replace the farmland preservation fees with $13,000 from that org number, the grant line item. I'm sorry, I don't have it in front of me.
46060.
46060, and $11,000 from levy funds, Is there a second to that amendment? Seconded by Supervisor Landry. Discussion on this amendment. So again, this is the second piece of the adjustment in fees that we made back under item 1115. All those in favor of this budget amendment signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. The noes are Burke, Spiker, and abstentions. I should be calling for that all the time. Supervisor Paff abstains. Any other amendments, any other discussion on the now twice amended administrator's budget for 2013? Supervisor Berg.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Just a point of clarification. So the budget that we vote on will include all those amendments that have been previously passed this morning. Is that correct?
Well, that's what we're getting clarification on. The fees schedule was amended. Right. The Pedretti amendment to the budget that we just passed balanced out that fee line item. I don't know if we need to do any other cleanup. I'm just going to check with Gary and make sure we're clean.
There is no other cleanup, but you need to vote on the administrator's budget as amended, and
right.
Then we'll come back later with the resolution to set the tax limit.
So I think the answer is yes, Supervisor Berg.
So
we're
all those,
okay.
All the amendments are included.
The amendments that we have made so far are taking care of the fee changes that we made earlier.
Okay, thank you, Madam Chair.
Any other discussion on the twice amended supervisor or administrator's budget? Supervisor Geary.
Yes, I just have a few questions. Is the fiscal condition of the county as good as it was a year ago or 5 years ago?
Well, Geary and I can both respond, but certainly we're much stronger than we were last year. Our fund balances increased, and as the auditor reported, we're in as strong a fiscal position as we've ever been. And I believe I'd have to do some analysis, but we're much stronger than we were 5 years ago, and that was evidenced by Moody's reiterating our AA1 bond rating. Again, they do an independent analysis of our entire fiscal position year in, year out that we issue debt. Their review of our fiscal position verified that we continue to be very strong, yes. I don't know, Gary, if you have something additional on that?
No, you summarized it quite well.
Well, I asked earlier in the year or whatever, do you want to reduce the 40% we keep in the undesignated fund balance to a lower amount?
I propose that should be an ongoing discussion. When you're not making very much interest on investment of your reserves, that it is something worth reviewing. But the board left the policy the same. We exceed that 40%. It's something that I think we should continue to discuss, but there was no necessary need to change it. I just thought it should be an option we talk about, and I believe we'll be discussing that in the future as you consider your best options.
Okay. I had a question on page 37 on the sales tax revenue. Who gives us the projection for the sales tax revenue?
The finance department does the projection. In part, we rely on a university process, University of Wisconsin process. They provide projections, and we in turn study their projections and come up with what we think is most appropriate locally here.
Okay. So historically, we've usually taken their projection, the University of Wisconsin's projection?
Yes, but again, we want to tweak it. I mean, again,
yeah,
it's...
Right.
It's
okay. Well, I just noticed that the projection of $10 million came from who? The university?
I don't recall off the top of my head, but we never very much. I mean, it would be a few hundred thousand from what the university projects for us.
Okay, because the projection, whoever did the projection, you have it as $10 million, and you've got the budget as $10.2 million?
Correct.
So we're budgeting more than we projected? Or is that than somebody projected?
Well, you know, part of the issue is that we see on a monthly basis how much we're taking in, okay? And this year, the revenue that we've been receiving month to month is higher than what we thought it was going to be. So, you know, providing the economy continues to move along at the current pace, We feel, and again, when we originally put the budget together was back in July. That's where you see the $10 million. But as we've moved along in the process, we've noticed that the economy locally is fairly strong, so that's why we bumped it up a couple hundred thousand.
Okay. Now, in regards to levy limits, sales tax, that's set by the state by some formula, right?
What do you mean it's set by the state?
Well, I mean...
We get half a cent.
No, I'm not talking about the sales tax. I'm talking about the levy limits.
Yeah.
You said earlier we're 480,000 below approximately the levy limits.
Right.
That number is set by the Department of Revenue or something?
Right. Mm-hmm.
Okay, Department of Revenue.
Yeah.
And on sales tax, we're getting over $10 million, and then we take some excess sales tax from the year before because we traditionally projected less than we were going to get, so we always had a carryover.
Correct.
And statutorily, wasn't sales tax for property tax relief was the primary impetus of that?
That's what we use it for, yes.
So if you had the excess sales tax, which was generated by sales tax, let's say it's $10.5 million in this budget. You got 10.2 and you got $350,000 of excess from last year?
Well, possibly, yeah.
Okay, mm-hmm. So... But we got a $10.5 million revenue, and it's given us $480,000 worth of property tax relief?
$480,000?
No, it's not.
What?
No, it's giving us over $10 million worth of tax relief. That $10 million comes off the bottom line.
We would be over the levy limit. You said we're $480,000 under the levy limit. We can't go more than $480,000.
But our levy limit calculation includes counting on this revenue. That $10 million comes off of the property tax. We could not replace that with an increase in levy by $10 million. We've built that into our budget since you adopted the 0.5%.
1990.
In 1990, you're counting on that roughly $10 million to keep the property tax low. And that's what all counties are obligated to do, is to use it for property tax relief purposes.
So the other... Most of that money, then, is technically scattered throughout the budget.
No, it's applied in 1064, which
is
your non-departmental. It goes to the bottom line.
The gross line. But, I mean, if you tried to break it out by line item, it would be scattered.
No, it's not scattered. It's on line item on page...
What page?
37.
That line item, and that non-departmental goes against the entire bottom line of the entire county. So it's not scattered throughout the budget. The excess sales tax... is applied against only one item, which is the economic development budget, where we've consolidated all economic development purposes into one budget. We did that, I think, 6 or 7 years ago, and we use excess sales tax to keep that off the levy as well. Both applications of sales tax are used to provide direct property tax relief and reduce the amount that we levy in property taxes.
Okay. Maybe I'm not asking this right. Some counties don't have sales tax.
About nine counties do not.
Some counties do not. Does that affect their levy limits?
Certainly, because their levy limit was set at that level. If they want to use sales tax, they can have that authority, and the board can adopt an ordinance.
But the dollar amount, I thought, was set by the state by some formula from something back in the 1990s or something?
There are two levy limits, and we've walked through this. There's a levy rate limit and a levy limit. We're close to our 1993 rate limit because it was after you adopted the sales tax. So it holds us to a lower levy limit on rate than most other counties because we are already at a low rate after you applied the sales tax. The levy limit itself on an absolute dollar amount is county specific by each county. So because we already spend less after applying the sales tax, we're also held to a lower limit on that as well. But that's the way the rules are played, and we have to abide by that, which is why our recommendation is not to allow the rate to go up. Even though they suspended the rate limit for 2 years, we don't believe we should put ourselves up against that limit by that $480,000 and wait to see what the state does with overall revenues in 2013, the next biennium, and whether or not they eliminate the rate limit. But we've regularly been well below our levy limit. In fact, prior to the current administration, we are $3 million below the levy limit in an absolute dollar amount. And we've walked through those details with the board earlier and several times.
Well, even before we had the sales tax, we were always under the levy limit by a fairly considerable amount, wasn't it?
Yeah, possibly so. I don't have those numbers in front of me. But
you don't ever remember us getting bumping up against it?
Well, we you know, throughout the 90s, we were bumping up against it, yes.
Is that it for you, Supervisor Geary? Supervisor Richmond.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I had asked the question the other day on the page 36 on the contingency amount. 2012 board approval was $150,000, and it goes up to $650,000 using $500,000 out of the general fund balance. My question is, couple questions, actually. The Sheriff's Department contract has not been finalized. How much do you project that to be if it is, say, 2%? What would the dollar amount be on
that? It wouldn't use that entire $500,000, but it will also affect supervisors in the law enforcement, as well as we're counting on in this budget some position attrition. This allows that if we don't have that same level of attrition, that allows us to fall back on. This $500,000 is approximately what returned to the general fund at the close of 2011. So it just allows us to have that contingency, and to spend any of that, that would come back through the executive committee and the county board. So it just hedges our bet on what could happen with position attrition in the county, as well as the law enforcement contract that's still in dispute for 2 years, by the way. It's for 2012 and 2013. We're currently in arbitration on that matter.
Okay. If this is approved, what would be our balance of the general fund?
It's I think it's around 14 million. I've got the number here. At the end of 2011, it was $14,120,000, so it would be $500,000 less.
Supervisor Berg.
Yeah, I just have a question, actually, for Administrator O'Malley. How often do we get rated by Moody's?
Every year that we issue debt, they do a complete analysis and review. So because we've been utilizing highway debt each year for the last several years, we've been reviewed on an annual basis.
Okay. And are we rated by any of the other rating services?
No, we haven't found it beneficial to pay for, because you actually have to hire them to do the rating. We don't feel there's enough benefit to get additional ratings. The AA1 is second only to AAA, so we're one of the highest rated counties in the state, and we're comfortable with just one rating.
Okay, thank you very much.
Mm-hmm. Supervisor Ebert.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Mr. O'Malley, several years ago, we had to limit, I thought, up to a levy because we could not carry over. Because that $480,000 can now be carried over into next year?
I guess it's really going to be subject to the next biennium and what the legislature does. A portion of that will be able to be carried forward, but we may not be able to use all of that, just like we haven't used the previous $3
million. Because, I mean, didn't you at one time, when there was no carryover, thought we were better off limit? So that's why we're probably not doing that is... I thought 2 years ago or something mm-hmm. that we were in that situation where you thought we were better off to levy up to the limit.
The main reason we're not going to the limit is that we're close to the 1993 rate limit. And the state only suspended that for 2 years. We've been lobbying, as you know, because it came through a resolution of this board, to ask them to hold counties to only one levy limit, not to a rate limit and a dollar amount. So it's our judgment that the state uncertainty about the rate limit puts us in a position that we don't want to dare get close to that, even though we're taxing far less than other counties.
Thank you. And then the 0.665 for retirement now, and that was what, 5.9 or 5.8? I don't remember.
6.65. It was 5.9 in current calendar year.
Okay, and we had that far enough advance that that's already budgeted in.
Correct. We had actually made a judgment call to budget close to that at 6.5. We didn't increase at that 0.15 because we're expecting, like I mentioned earlier, position attrition that will end up making up that slight difference.
And my last question is, we appear to be taking out a fund balance. Under what circumstances are we able to build fund balance? When we have a great year or something? Or because it seems to me to build fund balance, you either have to overtax or have, you know, how did we build up these fund balances back in the 90s or whenever you built up the big balances?
It actually happens over a period of years depending on how conservative you are in budgeting revenue and expenses. So, for example, Human Services Department had an excellent year last year that was unexpected. They ended up obtaining a number of revenues that we weren't budgeting for that through their accounting and getting reimbursed actually end up increasing their fund balance substantially. So the goal is to systematically use fund balance as you can for one-time expenses, but to monitor that level at the amounts fixed in your fiscal policy. So we continue to monitor that, and sometimes we, you know, get lucky. You end up having a better year than you were expecting. Other times an expenditure goes over, like out-of-home placement or those types of things where you're not as lucky.
Thank you much, sir.
Supervisor Doyle.
Just a quick question. I was reading an article in the last couple of days about the fiscal cliff, and one of the things that they're predicting to go away is the, I don't know exactly what it was, the freeze or the break on FICA withholding. Assuming that does happen, what does that mean to our budget?
That doesn't affect the county budget. That's the employee share of FICA.
Employee, not employer?
Correct.
Any other discussion on the amended 2013 administrator's budget? We're going to do this one on the computer just because we got to keep Ginny awake up here. So on the computer, yes, if you were in favor of the twice amended, so the sheet of corrections and changes coming out of executive committee and the Pedretti amendment that replaces the farmland preservation fee with grant dollars and levy dollars. So those amendments to the 2013 administrator's budget, yes if you were in favor, no if you were opposed. That motion is approved on a 25-1 vote. Next step is for us to go into recess to allow staff to do the calculations that need to be done to reflect the amended budget and come back with specific numbers on the tax levy. I don't know if we have an estimate of how much time
about
we need.
Hour.
So, I would entertain a motion to recess for 30 minutes to allow that to happen. Moved by Supervisor Berg, seconded by Supervisor Holtz. All those in favor of a 30-minute recess signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? We are in recess for 30 minutes. It's back in, out of recess, and note that there are 25 members present. We're back in, out of recess. Back to you, Supervisor Hampson, for item 1121.
Thank you. I have item 1121, a resolution re the tax levy. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the Board of Supervisors of La Crosse County, Wisconsin, does ordain as follows, that there be and there is hereby levied upon the taxable property of La Crosse County, Wisconsin, for the tax levy for the ensuing year, the sum of $31,193,028 for the purpose to wit, and they are listed by department, and I'll ask you to skip over to the third page. Total expenses, $89,706,624. And on the back, Total net expenses, $28,158,037. County level levy on special districts, library, $1,665,251. The world's bookmobile, $15,921. For total county tax of $29,839,209. Plus the forestry tax for state tax for forestry purposes of $1,353,819 for a total tax apportionment of $31,193,028. I move its approval, and I would note that on the third page, down at the bottom of aging, you have an amount there, $74,256. The printer did not print the words for that, and that is from aging estate donation.
Supervisor Hampson has moved approval of the resolution regarding the tax levy. Is there a second? And then we'll clarify this point. Seconded by Supervisor Meyer. So the bottom line on the second page.
Third page.
For the dollar amount, $74,256. The source of that should read from aging estate donation fund.
That's right. That's it.
So discussion on the tax levy resolution. Supervisor Ebert.
Madam Chair, the one you just mentioned from the aging estate fund. So we're using gifts to operate for operating expenses?
Mr. O'Malley or Mr. Engelson?
We have a number of fund balances in aging that we're using to help control the property tax levy, and that's one of them. And that was donated by the Daryl Larson estate, and so that's helping to control the cost of the aging department. But they have a significant fund balance as well as that. So correct.
But we're using, that just seems normally those are, you know, to be used for adding new programs or something, and to use that for operating, I find that disconcerting. Thank you.
Mr. Engelson, did you want to speak to the donor's wishes on that?
We always look very carefully at the way the agreement is written from the donor to ensure that we're following his wishes or her wishes.
Any other discussion on the tax levy resolution? Supervisor Berg.
Yeah, I just have a question on the executive here, the county administrators.
Is your microphone on?
Yeah.
Sorry.
I have a question on the executive, the county administrators' budget. Is there a breakdown of that in our budget here? It's 295. Where? $295,730. What page can I find the breakdown?
The county administrator's budget is on
page 10.
Page 10.
Okay, thank you.
Anything else on the tax levy? So this is setting the tax levy for the budget that we approved about half an hour ago or so. Supervisor Schultz has a new kid question.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Actually, this is a I can't operate a calculator properly question.
Otherwise known as a new kid question.
I won't figure out how to operate the calculator, so this won't change. Did we change the percent change? We've got a 1.15% increase. We didn't change that, if my math is correct, right?
You mean with the amendments?
Right. We've changed the amount in...
Gary?
The amendments increased the operating levy by 11,560, but it, there really wasn't any percent change.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you.
No. Supervisor Richmond.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So that the mill rate will be the same then, Gary, at 3868. Is that what you're saying?
Yes. What number did you say?
3868.
Yes, that's the same.
It'll be the same, yes. Even though there was a deduction.
Right.
Okay. Thank you.
Any other questions? Discussion? All those in favor of approving the resolution regarding the tax levy for 2013 signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. One no, Supervisor Geary. I would note that, I would ask Supervisor Pedretti for a quick announcement on Friday morning's tour. please.
Thank you. We have it set up to visit a sand mine operating system, and there is a van going, so we have a few spots open if somebody else on the board would be interested in going on a tour to see what a frac sand mine looks like. It's about an hour away. It's in Taylor, if I remember right. So please see me afterwards if you are interested. We leave at 8 in the morning. We will be back at noon on Friday.
Future agenda items, I don't know that we... Yeah, suggestion for future agenda items. Supervisor Schrader. Taylor, Wisconsin. Supervisor Burns.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I think it would be helpful for a future planning meeting to have a, and I know Mr. Malley has done this in the past, and I'd like to have a good discussion or good analysis of our present fund balance, where we're at with our present fund balances in all of our accounts, and then also maybe a historical look at our fund balances, where we've been in the past, and then also maybe a policy discussion on application of fund balance levels and the use of fund balances.
Mm-hmm. Any other future agenda items? If not, I would call on Supervisor Richmond.
Thank you, Madam Chair. On behalf of everyone that approved this budget, and those that didn't. And thanks to the staff and our administrator, Mr. O'Malley, for putting this together. It's a lot of hard work, and thank you, and we will adjourn. Thank you. I move
moved by Supervisor Richmond to adjourn, seconded by Supervisor Burke. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. We are adjourned with the thanks of the chair.